What is up, Moncton? Welcome to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast. If you're a new listener, we thank you. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. As always, I am your host, Adam, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
So this evening was my wife's turn to make supper. God bless her heart. She asked for some peace and quiet while she cooked. So, of course, I took the batteries out of the smoke alarm.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Beautiful.
That other voice you heard there was my other co-host, Mr. Chris Dobson.
Fun fact of the night. Did you know that the voice of Mickey Mouse and the voice of Minnie Mouse actually got married in real life?
Nope.
Mind blown.
So because they are two mouses, are they mice? One mice?
Oh. Ooh. Man.
Dropping knowledge.
What a conundrum. Riddle me this. Awesome. Super fired up. Adam, what's the show like?
Let's do a show!
All right, let's get to the quick questions. So, 11 games left in the season. Peltz has 77 points. McKenna has 82. Will Peltz catch McKenna to overtake the lead?
Before you answer this question, stop using nicknames.
Peltier?
That's better. Okay. We haven't earned it. We're not in the room.
No, it's just the common, easy one, but all right, that's fair.
You just saw the look on his face, everybody. He literally looked like he was about to poop.
Go.
I don't think so. And it's not because I don't think he can. I think the problem we're running into now is based off, yes, there's been some line juggling, some combinations. You see Pelche now with Havanoff and Capanelli in the last couple games. I think at some point, if things don't change, you're going to see the two of those reunite. So I do believe that every time McKenna scores a goal, Pelche is going to get a point on it. But overall, I mean, just there's not enough games left. But hey, you never know. That Capanelli, Pelche, Havanoff line is exciting. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'd love to see it happen, but I'm going to say no.
So you said McKenna has 90.
82.
I don't know why I said 90. They are going to end up tied.
Ooh.
With 96.
Okay. 96, so that's what you're saying, eh?
Pelche's going to go on a little bit of a tear.
Okay. Okay.
Raising that draft stock, even though it's...
Draft stock! Draft stock! I like it. Hey, yeah. It'd be awesome. I wish somehow... I hope that, you know, somebody goes on a real tear, and I'd like to see one of the two of them break a hundo. That's what I would love to see. See the 100-point plateau get hit. But overall, if we could have two guys both at 96 points, you'll take that to the bank every day.
I will agree with you, Chris, I think, because you see it all the time with Pelche generally getting the assists on McKenna. He's just going to continue to extend that lead. But
right, I mean,
as long as they're putting pucks in the net, that benefits the team, right?
Right. With 11 games to go, 5 points is a pretty big gap. I'm not saying it's a huge gap, but I think like in a scoring race situation, because, and we're going to get into it later based off our recaps, I think what took place in Charlottetown on Sunday or Monday, I think that it's not going to sit well with Coach Torchetti.
I hope not.
But yeah, no, overall.
Because, I mean, Peltz had a 7-game streak, but McKenna was right there with a 6-game point streak. Right?
Every time I've said something, the absolute opposite has happened. So, Pelche, you're welcome.
That's very true.
So I'm pretty sure you're going to crush this out. Just an opinion, though.
All right, so the Moncton Wildcats are 31-19-3-4 for 69 points. They're fourth in the Maritime, sixth in the Eastern Conference. Which means a first-round matchup with Rimouski. Everybody wants home ice advantage. Is it worth it for the team? They're so much better on the road at 17-7. And I know you want home ice for that all-important Game 7, but this team just plays so much better on the road. I mean,
for why the, is for that? Why is it? I would love
the,
to know.
It's
is
it a be the pressure?
Does it go back to the same question you asked us last week when I wasn't here? And that was when there's no pressure on them. They play. It's just it's so weird. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's amazing to have a great road record because they are a very good road team.
And not by a little bit. Like they're 17-7 on the road and 14-12 at home. Like
it doesn't make sense.
I know. Obviously,
it doesn't make sense.
This is home ice is where you're supposed to take advantage.
Right.
And especially in the new rink.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, I mean, obviously it's almost been a full season. Like they're not accustomed to their surroundings. Maybe they're overwhelmed with their surroundings.
It's a shock and awe maybe.
Right. Right. Like it's, there's so many factors, but yeah,
so with you
it doesn't
guys
make sense.
Being here longer than I have, was the Coliseum a good like home ice. Did they play really well all the time at home when they were
when they had a team well enough to play well?
Have they ever been this much better on the road than at home?
They've always been a pretty solid road team. Like they always played well on the road. I mean, as far as the Coliseum goes, I don't know. There's some nostalgic. I mean, I'm the first guy in the world to say that the Coliseum had to go. Like the Avenue Center had
to. It owed them nothing.
But at the same time, I have a little spot in my heart there, a little nostalgic for the Coliseum. I mean, I'm going to miss those Fog Bowl days in September. And like, it's just things like, but no, they were always a decent road team, Adam. Yeah, I don't know what the situation is here, but all I know is that I hope that their home record just starts to get a little better now. I mean, playoffs are, like you said, there's 11 games left in the season. Less than a month away.
They need to win a few more home games just to go on a bit of a roll before they hit the playoffs.
Concur.
They have more.
Concur.
Actually, they're exactly even.
And, I mean, it's not going to get easy. They got a tough roadie coming up.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's recap a few of those games. Friday was an 8-1 drubbing of the Sea Dogs to end the perfect road trip. Not a whole lot going in that one, except we saw the offense that we were accustomed to seeing, putting a bunch of goals in the net, right?
You know what? I talked to a few people at the rink on Monday, and everyone was talking about the fact that Moncton shouldn't celebrate the five games in a row. Other than that Cape Breton 4-0 win, they didn't do anything special. They were playing against teams they needed to beat. It doesn't matter who they're playing. Five in a row is five in a row. And if that's going to help build your confidence moving forward, you know what? Those are key games, especially St. John's. St. John's played this team tough all year long.
Yep.
Right? I mean, they played a lot of teams tough all year long.
That was like the first game where it was a legit blowout.
Absolutely, which is what I think everyone expected to see every time we played St. John this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at, you know, the St. John Bath or St. John's, like back to back to back, then, you know, that Cape Breton win was extremely impressive to start this whole thing.
And then, I think that if they don't win that hockey game, I don't think they play as well as they did in those three games. I think that was a tone setter.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. But you can't take any opponent for granted, not even Bathurst. I don't care who you are. I mean,
we saw it in the season opener.
Absolutely.
Right? It was what a
2-1 or
2-1, 3-1.
Right.
Like, and it took a while to get to 3. I think they were leading 1-0.
Bathurst had a 1-0 lead going into the third period, if I remember.
Yes. Well, absolutely. Yeah. So
we were drinking together at the Cheers.
Everybody knows
your name.
Going through that recap, yes, that was a tough Charlottetown loss on Family Day.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, hope you guys had a great Family Day.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
I spent it with my work family.
Aww.
But I did watch the game.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. So what are some of the things you noticed? Take the scores out of it. What did you notice about the games they played during that five-game win streak? Was there something different about that team you noticed after the Bathurst thing, when things finally started to turn around?
They tightened up defensively.
And they're skating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they were using their speed. They were getting pucks in deep, and they were going to get it. This is what Torchetti's been preaching, was we need to be a better team, like, you know, cardio-wise, if that's a good word. You know, he wants to see this team get faster. He wants to see them because he knows they're going to do it. So first thing he called out is, you've alluded to many times, Jeremy, you're too pretty to be a hockey team. They fixed that for him. Next thing you know, they were too slow for him. They're fixing that for him now. What was that?
Nothing.
Okay.
It's been a while.
But overall, no, I mean, I loved everything about this win streak. I don't care who the opponent was.
Nope.
You know, this was great for this team. You know, one blemish on that whole radar was that Charlottetown game. And again, not knocking Charlottetown. They're a great hockey team. You know, Jim Halton's done it year after year after year. He's done a great job. You can tell these kids want to play for him.
Charlottetown's the hardest working team that I've seen this year.
No question.
Like, there's not one shift that they take off.
Charlottetown's a team I don't want to play in the playoffs.
Absolutely not.
Like, but it doesn't matter. For
a few weeks ago, you were the one saying that you would,
at the time, I honestly, wholeheartedly.
Like, it doesn't matter if we have 6, 7, 8 wins in
a row. I will eat my words on that. You are absolutely right, because I truly believed that we were about to see the Moncton Wildcats flip a switch. And then I don't think there's a person in the city as a Wildcats fan who, when they saw that 4-0 Cape Breton win, said, we can take on the world. There's not a team we can't beat.
Yep.
Okay? And then I felt great about Charlottetown. But then, now, I'm going to backtrack a little further here. because, yes, Charlottetown played a good game Monday, but that was the worst game I've seen Moncton play in a long time.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah.
That is not the same team we saw in that five-game stretch.
You think the 2 p.m. start had any little thing to do with it? It puts them out of their rhythm. Like, on Sundays, they play at 4, so you kind of get used to a rhythm. And hockey players are creatures of nature. They didn't play well in the morning game, the afternoon game at 10, so that throws them out. I mean, it was Bathurst at 2 p.m.
If you can't be fired up and ready to go for a 2 p.m. family day game where there's almost 7,000 people in the rink,
and you still can't manage to give them anything to cheer for.
You know how long it took them to get their first shot on goal?
7 minutes.
A long time. Mm-hmm. Longer than that. I thought it was almost the 10-minute mark. I could be wrong, but I know it was long. But we've seen, anyways, forget just Torchetti's presence. This was the worst game I've seen them play, which is a good sign of things to come. You know, you're able to look at what went wrong, look at the defensive breakdowns. Were they tired? Maybe. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think you'll see a lot more games like that. Again, this is a tough weekend for them coming up. I've got a little leeway for them with this road trip coming up. Very little.
Well, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, this is going to be the first extended road trip that Torchetti is going to be on with this team. So I really hope they kind of have at least some time to bond, I guess, because, you know, these players, they come to the rink. If it's a home game, you know, they have their rituals. If it's a road game, you know, Halifax, they're sitting on a bus. But this is actually going to be where they're on a bus for, you know, 10 hours, right? They're probably going to leave on Thursday morning. But this Cape Breton game is, you know, when you have a bad game, people like to say, you know, throw out the tape. But this is kind of like a good tape game to keep, just based on on how they play. I was going to say how well they played, how badly they played. But this road trip is, I think, going to be, we say the five game winning streak was a turning point, but I think this road trip is more, depending on the result of the road trip, is how well we're going to see this team for the rest of the season.
So I saw an interview with John Torchetti a couple weeks back. And he was talking about these road trips and what this big one's going to mean for him, just because he is going to have the time and ability. And he said he's going to sit down with these players on the bus one by one. Mm-hmm. And there is not a man alive who loves video more than John Torchetti, period. He's going to break down everything. He loves this hockey club. He's a firm believer in what these guys can do. Mm-hmm. So this is I agree with you, Jeremy. I think this road trip, It's. I mean, and of course, the road trip we're talking about is Victoriaville, Drummondville, and Rimouski.
I almost forgot Victoriaville existed.
Right.
Because
we haven't played them yet.
Right. Haven't played them yet this season, and then you got them twice in 8 days.
Right.
So it's going to be fun. And one of their goalie, Kote Kazanabedzibede, is like one of the hottest goalies.
Could you spell
in the
that for me? Sound it out.
COTE hyphen CAZANAZE.
I'll give you points for the effort, bud. I'll give you points for the effort.
The Gatineau-Ren-Val-d'Or road trip, you said, was one of the toughest ones based on travel.
Mm-hmm.
Given the schedule and the time of year, is this the toughest that they're going to face with Drummondville and Rimouski back-to-back?
3-3?
And 3-3, yeah. And not to discredit Victoriaville, because we haven't seen them yet, so we don't really know.
No, but if you're Victoriaville, that's the one game that you know everyone's going to have the energy for, right? And you talked about leaving Thursday, based off potential weather coming through. They may even leave Wednesday.
Right.
Right?
And Moncton's going to have a pretty good fan base. Right? The booster club's got a bus full of fans going to these games. The Quebec players are going to have their families there. So they have to take advantage of that. They want to be able to give their fans and their families something to cheer about.
I like it. I mean, obviously, I know we're not, even though we make these terrible predictions, how do you think the boys do this weekend?
Well, I said 5-4 on my prediction of the final 9 games. Based on that, not well.
Okay.
But I would probably change that.
I would consider 3 points out of 6 a success.
That's what I was going to say. I say they come away with 3. 4 is my stretch target.
Mm-hmm. 4 would be, I would call 4 it
to win. That's a great win.
Absolutely. Considering you got Drummondville and Rimouski in there.
If you can get 4 points, you know, that's something to be very proud of.
Which is the bigger test, Drummondville or Rimouski?
I'm going to say Rimouski because it's the third and three.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. But other, I mean, Drummondville's Drummondville.
And their fans are going to be riled up to see Dylan Seitz. Dylan Seitz.
Right. So please, Dylan, be in the lineup Sunday.
Yeah.
All I'm saying.
Please.
Please. Show everybody why you're the king of frustration with Alex Lafreniere.
Yeah, he was really good at that. Let's give Jeremy some time here. The inverse standings and the draft lottery process.
Oh, man, this is the toughest math I've ever done.
Math is fun.
So, yeah, draft lottery. Everybody knows that Moncton has Panthers first-round pick. So the way the draft lottery works is there's 21 balls in the thingamajigger, whatever it's...
The bingo spinner. Yeah.
Job thing. So last overall, so right now Bathurst, a.k.a. Moncton, would have a 9 out of 21. So 9 balls out of the 21 would belong to Moncton, which would be a 42.9% chance at first overall. Second, which would be 17th overall, second last, whatever, 6 balls out of the 21 at 28.6.
Which is Val-d'Or, right? St. John is the second.
Right, which right now would be Val-d'Or.
Their spot.
Right, so Moncton at this point would have a 42.9% chance of getting first overall. Val-d'Or would have 28.6%. Third last, which would be Schwinnigan.
Yep.
3 balls out of the 21 at 14.3%. Fourth last, which I believe right now is Blainville, which would be St. John's pick. They got 2 out of the 21 balls at 9.5%. And then fifth last, which is...
Right now it's Val-d'Or, but Val-d'Or and Gatineau are tied. So we'll give it to Val-d'Or.
Yeah, so they get 1 ball out of the 21 at 4.8%.
So in total, because of the stand, so Val-d'Or will have 8 balls in there, essentially. 7 plus 1, you said, right?
So where's Val-d'Or is where right now?
Second and fifth.
So they have a 7.
So 7.
Okay. And Moncton has 9.
Yeah.
So...
We have a slim chance.
Slim Jim.
Winning the lottery.
Yeah. obviously, the draft lottery has been around for only two years now.
Right.
And the team with the best odds has not gotten first overall.
So before it was just the tanking?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a good topic. I want to talk about this. I want to get your opinions on. What are your thoughts on the draft lottery? You like it or you hate it?
Well, as an Oilers fan, I love the lottery. Never works
out. As a Wildcats fan, I hate it.
Right. But in general, if we take the fandom out of it, the concept of a draft lottery.
I like it. I do.
I think it eliminates the tanking option where teams will purposely, lose. Even though they won't admit that they purposely lose or they're just a bad team.
Of course but in not. Junior hockey, how much of that is...
That's what I'm saying. I'll tell you right now, my opinion, I hate it. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's stupid. And I'll tell you why. You nailed it right on the head. It's junior hockey.
Yeah.
If you're getting the first overall pick in the QMJHL, regardless of how good he is, let's be real, truthfully, you probably got 3 years out of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If he's that good. In a junior hockey cycle, and I get it, every 4 years your players turn over. It just is there really a tanking system in junior hockey? Like, is it not? I don't know. And it could just very well be my opinion. Now, in the National Hockey League, where you're dealing with contracts and you're dealing with long term, as an Oilers fan, even though
we're not very good at this.
No, you're awful at it.
We lucked into one, and any idiot could have picked him.
Right. Well, I mean, you lucked in.
You lucked into Connor McDavid, and anybody could have picked
him. You lucked into Taylor Hall, too. The problem is they traded him away.
Yeah.
It was a one for one.
Adam Larson?
Yeah, Adam Larson. Taylor Harrell, one for one.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
We are the king of one for one teams.
Speaking of which, here in Shirelli is involved with the Padres now. Manny Machado, $300 million. I'm pretty sure he's involved.
Shirelli, we gave up a third round pick to Boston because we got him from him.
So let's look back on that whole trade, that Eberle deal. Let's do that at full rotation.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done.
It's Eberle for Gagne.
Who went back to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a W.
Yeah, it's Everly for Strome.
Anyways,
for Spooner,
bottom line is just Everly, me. I hate the draft lottery. I think that the team who does, you look at that Moncton Wildcats team a couple years ago, and yes, it's a Wildcats podcast, and I'm trying not to use them, but it's so easy here. Or even St. John or Bathurst right now. They're not legitimately tanking.
No.
They're just awful. Yeah. Just like Moncton was a couple years ago, and they were not, I'm not going to say they weren't rewarded, because Jacob Pelche is a damn good asset.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, but, if you had to choose right now between Alex Lafreniere and Jacob Pelche, personally, I take Jacob Pelche from a contagious point of view, because nobody rallies the troops better than Peltz does.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and I gave you crap for using a nickname, and I just did it. I'm sorry, but
I think everybody uses that nickname.
No, I'm just saying.
I know,
but you know, I love everything Pelche does. Would I like Pelche if he was about 15, 20 pounds heavier and about 4 inches taller? Probably. But does that change who he is as a player?
Probably. He
absolutely it does. Mm-hmm. So yes, we lucked out with Pelche, and you know, watching the interviews that went on with Roger Shannon after Pelche was drafted and this and that, saying he took phone calls from every team except for one for that third overall pick. There was never a doubt in his mind. Jacob Pelche was the guy. Looking at Jacob today, it makes sense. But if you look at, you know, this pick coming up, I feel bad for these teams who were actually bad and deserve that player. And I just want to say one more thing. Yeah. We talked about Valdor, Jeremy, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you take my Wildcat fandom out of this whole thing, if Valdor wins the draft lottery, I'm not going to be heartbroken. Because that franchise absolutely needs this.
Exactly. Like, this is a franchise... Obviously, they won a championship a few years ago.
Right. And if you look at the players that have come through there, you know, yeah. Chris Letang, yeah. you know, the late Luc Bourdon was there. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Sorry.
No, it's you're right, though. You know, Valdor is, they're kind of like, they're always in Ruin Aranda's shadow.
Right.
Right? They have they just can't seem to get over the hump because of the success the Huskies always have.
Right. We always have a soft spot for Valdor. I love Valdor.
You almost forget about them.
Right, you do.
Right?
Even though their unis are so unique. I like the unis, yeah.
But yeah, it's like if they don't end up winning the draft lottery, I have absolutely nothing wrong with that.
No, me neither.
I think they deserve it. I think they need it.
That being said, I still hope Moncton wins it.
Yeah.
Right.
But if Valdor gets 1 and 2, awesome. Like, good for them. But I mean, just gonna roll it back into
absolutely.
No. So last overall in the standings, can't pick lower than third overall.
Right.
So let's say Valdor gets 1 and 2. Moncton's going to
get... Guaranteed 3.
Guaranteed 3.
Right.
So let's say the Moncton ball isn't picked in the first two picks. Boom. You're falling on third overall.
Right.
Second last in the standings can't be lower than fourth.
Right.
So on. So obviously once your ball is picked, it's then... All the others are then removed from the thingamajigger. And then, sorry, I don't know
the technical term.
That's fine. Thingamajigger.
The thingamajigger works.
I only call it thingamajigger because I keep watching what's the kids show? Thingamajigger. The thingamajigger.
Don't have kids yet.
Anyway, I don't know. Kids show. My bad.
Yeah.
A lot of people would probably call it the thingamajig.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So yeah, the magic number for Bathurst to finish last overall is 15.
Right.
So any points lost by Bathurst or gained by St. John reduces it. When it gets to 0, Bathurst is guaranteed last overall, giving Moncton the best odds, which is pretty much a formality at this point.
Yeah, 10 points behind right now.
But you just never know. So
Adam, we cut you off, and I apologize.
No worries. Go ahead. When I sent you guys the article on the 20-year-old goaltender thing, I was reading it, and there was another article by the same guy that talked about no trades in junior hockey. This lottery, what, 3 of the picks aren't owned by the teams that could use them. Mm-hmm. So is there ever, like, would you be better off if they took away the lottery and you couldn't trade? Because you never know when you're going to be this bad when you do it, right? So
Bathurst knew.
Sold off. They now, because they traded, what, 2 years ago, they traded this pick?
Yeah, it would have been 2 years ago.
Well,
yeah.
Now they're stuck
right.
without anything. So it's like, would you rather have the lottery or not be able to trade kids?
Would you rather have the Memorial Cup or the first overall pick? You want the Mem Cup.
The Mem Cup.
That's what you want.
Like, I know he's gone right now, but just having that pick included in that deal with Bathurst by Roger Shannon, absolute genius.
Brilliant. Absolute brilliant.
Like he took a lot of heat for some of the trades he made, but the fact that he, you know, got that pick included in the deal for Malatesta and Hallwell, genius.
Yeah, absolutely right.
You have a lot of good players on this team, but the greatest asset
was that pick.
Is that pick.
Wholeheartedly.
Like, it's
hat goes off to Roger for that.
All right. Cool. So only if they pick number one, you don't want them to. You wouldn't say maybe move back and acquire more assets.
If Moncton ends up with first or second, I'm going to keep the pick. But obviously, having watched a lot of the Canada games this weekend. I have no problem trading third overall if they ended up without,
if the offer's right.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like if they can get, you know, just drop back a few spots, maybe six, and then
if you could trade that pick, let's say hypothetically, yeah, if you could trade that pick, what would you want in return?
I would want two first rounders, a first rounder next year, and a
for the third overall.
Yeah, and a B prospect.
See, I'd take two firsts and a defenseman that could help out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For next year. Like, that's kind of where my head's at.
Yeah.
I just think that if we could do something like that, again, the two firsts and a defenseman, or if you can fleece somebody for 14 firsts, is that what you were looking for?
Is that 14 firsts?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Two firsts in 2019.
Right.
A first in 2020.
Okay.
And like a B prospect, or like you said, a defenseman would be able to chip in right away.
I'm kind of where you are, except I would maybe want an 18, 19-year-old goaltender that's going to help as we go on.
Right? I agree and I don't. I mean, and again, goaltenders are weird.
We're not even going to get into that discussion today.
Or are we? Moncton has been very notorious and been very good for recruiting goaltenders, you know, via free agency. Yeah. We have a lot of good goaltenders in the system right now. This, whatever's taking place right now in regards to LeClaire versus Lavallee, first and foremost, tip of the cap goes to Frankie for getting in there. Charles Antoine, you know, Frankie's done his job full tilt. Mm-hmm. You couldn't ask for anything more from him. He's been an absolute workhorse. You know, LeClaire's been lethal.
Yep.
It was some good to see Charles Antoine Lavallee take the ice on Monday. Regardless, yep, he was down 4-0, but it was nice to see him take the ice.
And as soon as he went, I was just like, just make the first save. Just make the first save and get.
Which reminds me, you got a little love from Francis LeClaire's dad on social media, eh?
Kind of. Kind of. I put out the video that we freed Lavallee, and he gave me the shh emoji. And I just said to him, like, no disrespect to your son.
He needs a break.
He needs a break, and he's been carrying the lid, and he's been doing everything we asked, but
he's done everything he could to help this team win.
You wanted all that for a third. Would you move the first if you could get more?
F no.
Would you take calls, or would you say this isn't, don't even bother
calling
about this?
Joshua Waugh is
a bona fide superstar.
People are comparing him to Lafreniere. I'm not going to open that kind of worms. I'm not comparing them for the sole matter of Lafreniere is a player who you would build an NHL team around.
Correct.
Joshua Waugh is a player you'd build a junior hockey team around.
Which, ironically, right now is what we would like to do.
Exactly.
Right.
So
Joshua Waugh fits right into this lineup.
He would instantly become a
top six.
Top six. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm not like Pelche.
I see him picking on, like, imagine pairing him up with, like, an Elliot Desnoyer and something like that. Just like.
Yes. Like, yes.
Right.
Because, and he's a center. Pelche was a center, but you hardly see Pelche playing center anymore. Just because they have
a lot of centers.
You can easily flip a center to a wing.
And there's going to be moves. We have too many 19-year-olds. Yeah. Yeah. There will be moves.
Like, if you look at it next year, there's four spots open,
mm-hmm,
on the forward up front.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, right? He instantly jumps into the top six. Second overall, instantly jumps in the top six probably as well.
We just had the conversation at the trade deadline. Do you pick up the phone when they're calling for McKenna and see what they offer? Do you even bother picking up the phone with one, or is that off the table?
Not one.
Don't call
no,
on
no,
that
one. Don't even.
Like, not one.
Obviously, people are going to call.
Yeah, yeah.
But be like, yeah, give me your... Right?
Insert whatever you want, people, to that blank.
Body parts. Right? You know, like...
Okay,
No.
You could get an unbelievable haul for that.
Absolutely.
But you're
like, you
build
could,
that team.
You, right? I mean, like Chris brought up, Roger Shannon fielded 17 out of the 18 teams contacted him with third overall. Right? One of those teams was Baie-Comeau, who literally offered two first-round picks in the same draft, a first-round pick the following year, and a 19-year-old forward, who was actually still, he actually would have been 18, so he's still on their team this year. No. Like,
exactly.
you got offered that much for third overall. Can you imagine what you would get for first overall? Yeah, you're going to listen to the offer, but it's a hard no.
But then if you're building this team to be a Memorial Cup contender, he's going to instantly help you as opposed to two firsts, a first next year. Like, he's a piece that could potentially help you.
Still don't do it. No. I still don't. No. Everything I mean. You definitely everything not. I've definitely seen not. From this definitely. From him is...
No, that's what I meant. You don't do it because this kid's going to help you as opposed to the picks later that could and next year's first and all that.
Wholeheartedly. No, nope, like, you're right.
He finished with more points than Lafreniere did in midget. Like, that's why people are comparing the two. But they're... Right? Like, he
we get it.
He's the closest...
Bottom and line is, he's not. If we win the lottery, that pick goes nowhere.
Yeah.
No.
Like, just give him a jersey number, put his name on the back of the jersey already. Because there's
clean nobody. Out his stall in the yeah, Avenue
there's
Center.
There's nobody who's close to
you
him.
Can buy that jersey if they win the lottery.
See, the thing with that is, the thing with me is I buy a jersey, and then suddenly they're gone.
A simple no would have sufficed, but
like, no,
we didn't need your
it.
Life
That's
story.
I haven't put a name on mine yet because they're here for 2-3 years or whatever. All right, just sum it up. First overall pick.
First overall, moving. Keep it.
All that to say, if we win the lottery, not going anywhere. Yeah.
First overall, keeping it. Second overall,
take calls.
Third overall, my depending opinion, trade it.
Sell.
Like, if you have a player in mind at third overall and you know he's still going to be on the board.
At 6 or 7.
At 6, 7.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And then you're high on another kid that you think will still be on the board at 11, 12, 13.
No,
make,
I get it.
Make the deal.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? If they can get a defenseman and a forward in the first round, if they actually do end up trade, if it is third overall and they do trade it and they can get a defenseman and a forward, perfect. Right? But
we've got a while to go before we can have those discussions on.
We've got a couple rounds of the postseason to win, boys. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, last...
At least
last...
a trip to Halifax in May. Like, we got a long time before... When is the draft lottery?
So, it's normally the first week of April.
And is it televised on TV?
It would be... Yeah. It'll be it is, but it's also streamed online.
Yeah.
On the Q website?
Oh, or Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hopefully, this year, I don't have to break a laptop when I see the results.
We did that draft lottery live on Rogers TV. Chris and I went down to the studio...
Yeah,
and we were live. We did it.
We could even do that if it's on.
We had Courtney from the Wildcats organization joining us that day on studio because this was a big deal for Moncton.
Was it the first time they were? Oh, I guess the draft lottery. Never mind.
I was going to say it was. Yeah. But yeah, as soon as that card flipped at the third overall pick, and it was Moncton right away, we're like, oh. Like, the show just at that point felt like we should have just ended it. Yeah. We're like, oh, we're done here. But yeah, no, at that point, you know, that was the Alex Lafreniere draft, right? So, anyways.
All right. Let's get to Dobson's Cat of the Week.
Whew.
Thanks for your math, by the way, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. Had to do some digging Had to do some digging. For this week's Cat of the Week, again, you know, back-to-back weeks, couple weeks now that I've kind of gone off the board just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the same again this week. I'm going to tip my cap to give that Cat of the Week to big defenseman, Gabriel Sylvestre. The last couple games, I liked what he's done. He's had a goal, 2 assists. He was a +4. Actually, the last 3 games because nobody had any points against Charlottetown. but overall, you know, I love the way he's playing. He's starting to play physical hockey, you know, making the smart plays from behind his own net. Big fan of Gabriel the last couple games. Congratulations, Gabe. You know, keep it up the rest of the way.
All right. Fans know it. They love it. Stick tap of the week.
Stick top of the week for the first time ever is going to a Wildcats player, our rookie goaltender, Charles Antoine Lavallée.
I didn't see that coming.
Absolutely not.
No.
Blindsided.
Really? What an honor to be the first one.
First player, yeah. I mean, must have the patience level of a mature adult.
Certainly not a 16-year-old kid.
So no ice time for 6 weeks and comes in, replaces Francis Leclerc Monday afternoon. Not only does he stop all 11 shots, he gets named the team's hardest worker. Amazing.
He works hard every day. Yay, yay, yay.
Hope I get to see him again this weekend. 3-3. Hopefully.
I just hope that it was
not in a mop-up role.
No, I agree. I would like to see him get a little ice time this weekend. I mean, we've been saying it week after week after week.
We've been predicting week after week.
That's a good stick tap, bud.
Yeah.
That's a good stick tap.
He loves his sports rock wings, I'll tell you that. Loves him. He's a big sports
not,
rock guy.
Not the Jeremy Stocks with the sports rock, but
no. No. I'm saying he loves his sports rock wings.
All right. Any last thoughts before we hang up the skates and get to overtime?
You look like you got something.
No, not really.
You know what? I don't either today. I don't think. And if I do, I'll just sabotage the ending.
There it is. It's fine. All right, let's get to overtime.
Welcome to Overtime.
All right, so over the weekend I was watching Walk Off on the MLB Network, and it was the Red Sox and the Yankees, the ALCS Championship, Aaron and Boone. And it got me thinking, what is your favorite rivalry in pro sports?
This is easy. Easy. Red Sox, Yankees.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Leafs, Habs.
No. Red Sox, Yankees. Without a doubt. That time that brawl broke out, I mean, that game 7 comeback from the Red Sox after down 3-0 series, Pedro Martinez chucking Don Zimmer to the ground. I mean, there's no better.
Wasn't the blood sock that too?
Wasn't that well, I believe so. Yeah. Garbage. But yeah, I'm going Red Sox, Yankees for sure.
Now, as
all right. You get straight up killed in New York if you're wearing a Red Sox t-shirt.
And the same way in Boston?
You know what? Well, look, Red Sox fans are assholes, but don't kid
no,
yourself.
No, I'm saying, is it the same way the other
I'm
way?
I'm no different, but you could wear any. I don't think so much as, you know, Yankees fans bring it upon themselves.
Yeah.
They start talking crap, and then Red Sox fans finish it because they're idiots.
Yeah.
But yeah, the difference is you can't go to New York wearing a Red Sox jersey or a t-shirt. But you could go to Fenway wearing a Yankees t-shirt, but if you mouth off, you're not getting out. That's the only difference, right? Be a respectful fan. But yeah, I'm going Red Sox, Yankees.
That was going to be mine.
Got to go Battle of Alberta.
Ooh, that would make sense. Really just ripping everything out of Adam right now.
Yeah. Still hasn't paid up from his bet from November.
Bring a jersey. I'll wear it.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty sure he has to wear a Habs jersey, too. Didn't he lose that bet, too?
Something like that.
Yeah, I thought he was going to wear them both.
Technically took the points, but yeah, I lost it. I'll do both. I don't care.
Bring it on, he says. I don't care. I don't care.
Not so much lately. Or I guess lately now it is, but the Decade of Darkness, there wasn't a Battle of Alberta. It was more the 90s that it was really...
Yeah, because right now it's... I mean...
You have to have two teams that are good for the rivalry.
You can't really say it's one-sided right now, because, I mean, Edmonton always puts up a fight when they're playing against Calgary. Calgary always does the same against Edmonton. The games are still close. They're still entertaining.
I think last year, Edmonton beat Calgary.
Yeah,
and this year Calgary's beating Edmonton. So everyone's beating Edmonton. But.
I have to go. I mean, the Pittsburgh Philadelphia one too, because just say they have sports.
The Pens Flyers.
Pens Flyers. I mean, it's
tough to find one in the NFL because they just don't play as many games against each other. Like the Cowboys Eagles is one.
That's a good one.
Is a big one.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
The Cowboys 49ers back in the 90s. For a while there, it was the Braves and the Yankees. That was a pretty decent one. I mean, everyone hates the Yankees.
The Yankees?
Would the Habs and Leafs be your second?
Not anymore. No, I'd probably look at something like, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, something like that. Man U, Manchester. You know,
Shocker?
You could, man. Soccer rivalries are insane. Mm-hmm. But you could look at the Bears and the Packers. Insane rivalry there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many good
Cleveland
ones.
Warriors?
Right.
Past couple for like a 5-year stretch?
Maybe. But that's not a rivalry. That's just...
What would Chicago's have been? The Bulls?
The Bulls?
The Pacers?
I was going to say the Patriots. I know.
The Pacers for a while?
Yeah.
I don't even think the Lakers really have
Lakers-Celtics is always going to be a great rivalry. That's huge.
The whole beat LA between Boston and LA, like that whole, like all the sports.
Amazing.
Is probably one of the
biggest. I mean, you can go anything. Like you can look at tennis. You can go John McEnroe, Bjorn Borg.
Federer, Nadal.
Hockey.
Is there a women's one? Serena pretty much.
Serena versus Venus.
Tiger really.
Canada,
Tiger
USA.
Phil.
Tiger Phil.
No. Canada, USA.
Canada, USA.
Hockey.
You know what,
men's
though?
Hockey.
Yeah, but I'd say the Canada-Russia rivalry is probably just as strong.
It is.
Right? You look back in the day, if you think of long-term rivalries, Moncton-St. John and the QMJHL.
Moncton-Halifax?
Moncton-St. Yeah, it is, but it's just so many. There's so many good rivalries in sports, man. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Oh, we're going way back, with Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier. Absolute ridiculous rivalry. Anyways, I could do this all day. Deion Sanders, Jerry Rice. What do you want to do? Let's do this all day.
All right, let's put your GM hats on. The trade deadline's a week away. The Habs, they're fighting for a playoff spot.
Right.
The Flames, unbeknownst to almost everyone, they're leading the Western Conference.
Whoop, whoop.
Love it.
What do your teams do if they do anything? I'll just say the Oilers aren't doing anything. Sell off. Don't even make the playoffs. Don't even waste
I think it's so good that they're so bad. That
consistently.
Like, even the coach is like, I'm just going to resign.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you don't even have to fire me. I'm out.
It's not, it's just
like, that's got to be so frustrating. They're ruining arguably the greatest they're player in the game Cleveland today. Browns. Wait. Cleveland Browns just scored Kareem Hunt. Yeah. At least they're coming up, right? Imagine that, though. That's going to be wicked. Baker Mayfield, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Cleveland, watch out, boys and girls. Now that LeBron's gone, there's a new king of Cleveland.
Edmonton is just the culture above the coach. You can bring in any players you want. You can bring in any coach you want. It's that old boys club crap culture with Cates and hiring his friends and Bob Nicholson, Peter Chiarelli, Tambellini. All of them have to go.
If they don't figure this out and they ruin Connor McDavid's best years. He will ask for a trade
before 2 years from now.
Oh, my goodness.
He will want out.
Holy jumpins, I'd sell the farm. Sorry. Anyways. What do you think the Flames should do?
They would need a depth defenseman. I wouldn't be against them bringing in I can't think of his name. Arizona. Jordan Osterley.
Oh, Osterley. Yeah.
I think was he 26?
Something like that.
But he's more of a probably a bottom pairing guy, like a stay at home defenseman, but he's like an offensive, more of an offensive defenseman.
Would you replace Frolik on the second line? There's been rumors that Mike, you can get Frolik, the first round pick, and another prospect for Stone out of Ottawa.
I'd rather them get Matt Duchene.
Really though, man. After everything you've heard about this kid and what he's doing to locker rooms, left, right, and center, that's the guy you'd want.
I'd rather go with Stone than Duchene.
I'd rather have Stone too, but don't get wrong.
That's the biggest rumor for the Flames, anyway.
Right. So, and it obviously will never happen. But you're reading stories today about Oilers clearing cap space. It'd be a great way for them to clear Chris Russell. You know,
no move clause. No,
you don't think they'd ask him to move?
They could.
You don't think Chris Russell wants out of Edmonton?
No, I'm saying. Yes, if they ask
him, he will waive his no trade clause.
But him and Lucic are a $10 million anchor together with no move clauses.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, but for sure. But they would easily, they'd have to eat some space for them to go, I think.
Yeah, and the Flames love Chris Russell.
Oh, as they should.
Yeah.
But would the Oilers ever deal Chris Russell to the Flames?
Oh, yeah. We moved Steve Staios to the Flames to give them a
I don't want Chris Russell back. He blocks shots, but besides that, he's just a...
No, that's cool.
Would you address the goaltending?
Obviously, that's going to be question number one. Mike Smith has been playing well lately. David Riddick has been okay. It's I would keep it the way it is, just because really there's not very many goaltenders on the market right now.
Yeah.
If you need the goaltending to be addressed, probably wait to the off season. But no, I would just play it out. I mean, they've both been having pretty good years. Both have been on highs. Both have been on lows. You know, go with the hot hand in the playoffs.
Pretty much. The Habs do anything, or you just leave it the way it is because no one expected this?
Nobody expected this, but it goes to show again, and I don't want to go on a pro-Habs rant here because I will get verbally beat down. But if I'm Montreal right now, there's only one guy that I would have my eyes set on if you could find a way to make him available, and that is the former captain of the St. John Sea Dogs, Jonathan Huberdeau.
Ooh, yeah.
Because there's been conversations that Florida would take trade calls on him, and he would be absolutely lights out in Montreal. I would love to see it. But other than that, do nothing. Like, tinker a little bit. Don't make any. You don't have to. You've got a great. Like, if you look at. I was looking at some numbers the other day and looking at teams' futures and things like that. And right now, Montreal's pegged of the second or the third best prospects in the league. And they've done some great things. They made. You know, that Pacioretty deal is paying off in spades. The Galchenyuk deal, paying off in spades.
Thomas
Tata! Who was a throw-in. He was a throw-in on that deal. Nick Suzuki was the guy they wanted.
Yeah.
The 13th overall center came out of Vegas.
Were you happy with the Domi for Galchenyuk deal?
Absolutely. I was ecstatic.
Really?
Ecstatic. And I loved Galchenyuk.
Yeah.
Loved him.
There were some fans that...
But there was an issue there. You could tell from his very first interview how excited Domi was to go to Montreal. That's what they need in the locker room. And, I mean, look, he's got a career high in points now.
Yeah.
Happened last week. right? He's now a record in points. I think it's a record in goals right now as well. I loved everything.
They already revamped their fourth line with Weiss.
Weiss got sent back down today to Laval, but that's only because Paul Byron's back and he's ready to go. But yeah, he's a guy who was clutch come playoff time, right? I remember that whole situation where Lucic threatened to kill him in a handshake line. Like, that's beautiful. You know, you're under somebody's skin. You're paying rent in somebody's head at that point. You're living rent-free. But no, if I'm Montreal right now, don't do anything. You know, you let Shea Weber continue to work with guys like Victor Mete. Jeff Petrie's having a good year. If I could move Petrie, I would, if I could, depending, because he's at an all-time high right now in regards to draft stock. But yeah, so if you could move Petrie to a contender, you know, maybe recoup some picks, why not? Yeah, no, I like Montreal right now. But if I was to go, I've got a soft spot for Jonathan Huberdeau, and I think he'd look great in a Habs uniform. Come back to Quebec, bud. We'd love to see it.
I'd move your first, wouldn't it? To get Huberdeau, you'd have to move.
Think you'd have to. It would likely and cost Suzuki, you a first. Maybe not Suzuki, but don't forget they've still got Ryan Poehling in the system as well.
Probably be an A-level prospect.
There's an A-level prospect going if Jonathan Huberdeau was coming this way. But again, if I was a GM, I would make that phone call because you know Jonathan Huberdeau would love to come back. He'd love to come home.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, for the benefit of the show, Flames Habs Stanley Cup would be fun just to hear you guys go at it back and forth and back and forth.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Flames won't get there?
No, I don't think so.
Probably won't get out of the first
round. They're overachieving this year, I think.
All right. Quickly, your favorite... You had this favorite household hack.
Favorite household hack?
The only one I can think of was toothpaste to clean your silver.
I have this one because it's kind of funny, but stopping the microwave with 1 second left just to avoid that annoying beeping sound. That's my household hack. God, that sounds annoying.
I literally have done that so many times.
It's something that
just
I
stand there and wait for it.
Yeah, you're just like, come on. Yeah.
That's awesome. Jumpins. So this isn't my household hack. I actually saw it on a social media post about four or five years ago, and ever since then, I've never not done it. And that is anytime I'm about to drill a hole, and if you ask my wife, I drill a lot of holes.
Valentine's Day was last week.
No, renovations, he means. He redid his
house.
Oh,
renovations.
He's doing the basement.
Right.
The game room, right?
Drilling holes, I get it.
I got it, yeah.
Baby's on the way. I'm that guy. I use a post-it note. And I stick it underneath the drill hole, and it catches all the dust clippings from the drywall, so it just falls onto the little post-it note. I just pull it out and throw it in the trash.
The one I saw was when you put a nail in the wall, or you're putting a picture up with the string, and it's a pain to get lined up. Put a fork on the thing,
yep,
and then just put the. I was like, mother trucker! How many times I've been like, damn it, nope, all right. Don't meet me right now.
No, I'm not. Sorry, I'm reading a message.
No worries. Jeremy, you brought this one just before.
Yes.
Favorite sports name.
Favorite sports teams.
How many topics in overtime are we going here tonight?
We didn't have really a set
thing.
So
we're only at 15 minutes right now.
Good luck paying attention to this.
Fans want a one-hour show. you guys start off because I'm going to win this one.
All right, well, I'm going to go with the Gwinnett Strippers, AAA baseball for the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm going with the Jordan High School Beat Diggers out of Sandy, Utah.
They're in just 45 minutes east of Hannah, a little town called Castor. It's about 300 people. Their high school is the Raiders. So their basketball team is the Castor Raiders.
Oh wow, that's
no
amazing!
Joke.
That's amazing.
Big Raiders logo. I'm like, that is amazing.
For the win, I am going with the ECHL affiliate of the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Wheeling Nailers.
You think the Wheeling Nailers is better than the Jordan High School Beat Diggers?
There's so many
really?
Good ones.
Considering like, you want to bring up drilling holes, I'm going to bring up Wheeling Nailers.
Hey, that ties everything in because I was talking about when you put a nail in to put a picture.
That's
well
right.
Done.
Wheeling Nailers.
And on that note,
we're a team of
and
Paul
we're
Bissonnette.
Back.
Triple A baseball has some amazing ones. The El Paso Chihuahuas.
The Lansing Lugnuts.
there's some dandies.
New Orleans Baby Cakes. New Orleans Baby Cakes. The Miami Marlins.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's a good one. They sucked.
Why does every team you root for awful?
Live a lot of misery.
Moncton's having problems winning.
The others are terrible. Sod Poodles.
The Braves sucked for a long time.
It's true, man. This is brutal.
The Richmond Flying Squirrels. San Francisco Giants. Like, there's just so many. Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
Nice.
The Cairo Syrup Makers. The Glenville Tar Blooders. I don't even know what these is, man.
Bay Bears. Bay Bears? Like, where do you even get that from?
The Halifax Mooseheads.
Beautiful. The Watersmeet Nimrods. Man, these are great. Oh, the old Tatoipolis Wooden Shoes. I don't even know what that is. Why would you do that? Fighting Planets.
What team is that? What league, sir?
They are particularly loud on the basketball court, but slow. That's the definition. Oh, my goodness. The Freeburg Midgets. The Webster University Gorlocks. The Banana Slugs from Santa Cruz. Holy jumpins. The Columbia College Fighting Koalas.
There it is. The Columbia Fighting College Koalas.
Close. The Columbia College Fighting Koalas. But you're close.
That's a long-ass name. All right. That's any more names you got? No?
No, good. That's it.
One more. The Montgomery Biscuits. All right, I'm done.
And with that, that is it for our show. Guys, if you want to follow us on social media, you can. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, search Moncton Wildcast. Again, we will see you next Wednesday. Have a good week.
I have to poop.
Also, we're on iTunes.